Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Chav Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Chav Dalar Amud Beis. 7 lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, we learned the Mishnah, where the Mishnah discussed various situations where the get that was given, since it wasn't written with the proper Lishma intention, the get was possible. But says Rav, that even though all of these gittin that we learned in our previous year, the Mishnah taught us apostle, kulam psulim bakuna, kulam bais makuna, there's a concept that we're going to learn in our masechta, which is called reyach haget. And the concept of reyach haget teaches us that a get, that even though it's not a kosher get, but if it has similar, it looks like a get, or maybe similar to a get, the halacha is that it's considered, the halacha is that get is disqualified. And says Rav, all of these gittin that we learned in our Mishnah are enough of a concern that a woman should have somewhat a name of a grusha, that she should not be allowed to marry a kohen. Chutz min arishin, except for the first case. The first case where the get wasn't written for the purpose of gerushin at all. The get was written in that case because the soifrim were teaching the talmidim how to write gittin. Such a case is not a case. It's not a get, even a reich get. Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and he says af harishon nami paisel. Even that first case, even though an argument could strongly be made that get is entirely not a get, it still is somewhat of a get, and since it's somewhat of a get, the halacha is that it's reich haget. V'azah Shmuel tamei, and explains the Gemara, Shmuel follows his opinion. Dama Shmuel, ko mokoim, anywhere Shoshana Chacham get posel, that Chazal teaches that a get is posel, the halacha is that at least it accomplishes that posel, that this woman may not marry a kohen. Posel, the halacha is she can't get married based on this get, she's not considered a megreshes. Upaisel, it disqualifies the woman from marrying a kohen. And similarly, says the Gemara, wherever Chazal teaches that there's a chalitza psula, that there's a disqualified chalitza, the halacha is psula, that this woman is still considered a yevama, and she can't get married without her situation rectified. Upaisel saman achim. But the chalitza, even though it's a disqualified chalitza, accomplishes that much that she can no longer be a candidate for Yibam. Says the Gemara, Marava Amri, there are different examples of disqualified chalitza. And therefore says the Gemara, Marava Amri Mishmeid Reb Elazar, if the chalitza was done on small, on the left foot, and not as it was supposed to be done on the right foot, in Belaila, if it was done at night, Psulis, it's a chalitza that doesn't allow her to get married. She's not considered as if that she's not a shemeres yavam anymore. She's considered like a yavam l'shuk. Upaislis, she can't get married, but she can't be, have even one of the other brothers. But if the disqualification was that the cotton, it was a cotton who did chalitza, or on palya, that the shoe that was used was not a proper shoe, it wasn't made out of leather, it wasn't made like a shoe that's supposed to be used for chalitza is supposed to look. Psulas, the halacha is the chalitza is a chalitza psula, but ain't a paisles. Not to the degree that she can't have yibam. She can have, the chalitza is discounted, and the halacha is that she can't, that it's so discounted that it's as if nothing happened. And since nothing happened, she can now still have Yibam one of the other brothers. Zira Amar, Ziri says, Kulon, all the cases of a Mishnah, just the opposite, are so not considered a get, ain't Paislin, and therefore don't disqualify her from being able to marry a Kayan. It's not considered here even a situation of Reyach HaGet. It's not even considered a situation of reich haget, v'kein chutz min achron, where the husband instructed the cipher, write a get for one of my wives, and I will decide which one. V'kein amar Rav Asi, so too says the Gemara, did Rav Asi teach us, kulan ein paislim, all these cases are not even a reicha get, chutz min achron, besides for the last case. Because, as we're going to learn, and we mentioned this in our previous year, we're going to be discussing the concept of breira, and here, the Gemara is applying the concept of breira l'chumra. And since if we're going to rely on the concept of breira, it would be a good get, we are machmer to that degree that it should be considered a reicha get. The Kedam Ravasi, kul ein poislin chutz min achron. Rav Yochanan, ach achron nami ein poislin. Rav Yochanan, as we're going to begin learning now, doesn't believe in breira to the degree that it's not even a consideration. Says the Gemara, where do we learn Rav Yochanan's opinion? V'azer Rav Yochanan tamei, don Rav Asi omer Rav Yochanan, achon shecholku, when two brothers divide the Yerusha of their father, the halacha is, how does the halacha view that division of the Yerusha? The halacha views it as lekucha sein, as if they bought something from each other, and therefore machzirin zel b'yovel. We know what the halacha is, then when yovel was applicable in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that anything that was sold was returned to the original owner by yovel. The question here is, a father passed away, and he left over an estate. And the surviving brothers, in order to make the case simple, there were two brothers who survived. They divided up that Yerusha. And the question now is, how does the halacha view what just happened? Does the halacha view at what just happened as if these two brothers were purchasing? Really, I'm entitled to the whole Yerusha. My brother's entitled to the whole Yerusha. It's not a good situation, so we do a deal. I'll take this half. I'm buying your half. I'm buying from you one half, and you're buying from me the other half. If the halacha views this as a business transaction, so as we just said, when yovel comes, they will have to go back to where we started. If, however, we rely on the concept of breira, what breira means is retroactive designation. And in this case, what Breyer would tell us is that this was the part that I got was always mine. And the part that you got was always yours. When is there halacha that things go back by yovel? As we just said, when there was a transaction. But if there was no transaction, then there's no rule of things going back by yovel. Rabbi Yochanan is so not concerned with the concept of Breyer. He says that the two brothers are considered like lekuchas, and everything goes back. There is, however, machloikus rishonim. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says that that's what happens? Some rishonim say, to take the Gemara literal, that they made the division at the time that they divided the father's estate, and now, when yovel comes, everything goes back, and they'll redivide. Another pshat that I saw that the rishonim suggest is that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means to say is that when yovel comes, the two brothers will switch. Each one will get the other one's share. And a third opinion is that what the Gemara means to say is actually it's just a formality. Each one will go back, but when each one goes back, they'll go through the procedure of everybody getting back, to going back to the one estate that the father left. And then everybody will go back to keep what they had all along. But the point that the Gemara is trying to emphasize here is that Rabbi Yochanan does not consider Breira as even a possibility, as even an option. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't consider Breira. If he doesn't consider Breira, that's why when the Seifer was instructed to the husband by the husband to write a get for whichever wife I decide, which the only way that would be considered an acceptable designation would be based on Breira, Rabbi Yochanan discounts Breira. So as we said, we're going to begin learning now the Sugya Breira, which as we say, the definition of Breira is retroactive designation. And as we're going to learn, we're going to have the case of Breira in this situation of a barrel of wine, where we want to rely on retroactive designation for truma and maestros. And the Gemara is saying that according to various Tanoim, that it's not acceptable because they hold that we hold ein breira. And as we're learning now, we have a machloikis how to look at a get that was instructed to be written through breira. It's a suffix, and therefore, if Rabbi Yochanan holds ein breira, as we just said, that we're discounting it, and since he discounts breira, the get is totally not valid. However, if you hold a breira, there's a suffix if the get would be considered a valid get. As we discuss this concept, one of the issues that has to be discussed is what is the difference between breira, which is retroactive designation, and a tanai. Often, when we learn our shiurim and throughout Shas, the concept of tanai comes up very often, and you can make a stipulation. Now, let's think about a stipulation. When a stipulation is indicated, what does that say? That if my stipulation will be followed, then let's speak in the context of a get. A husband gives a get and issues a stipulation. What is he saying? That if my stipulation, if my tanai will be followed, then we will be divorced. If the tanai will not be followed, then we're not divorced. But if we think about tanai, the question that obviously comes up is what is the difference between tanai and breira? By tanai, we don't know what's going to be until the tanai is fulfilled. And by breira, we're relying on retroactive designation. Yet, the halacha is as follows. When it comes to the discussion of breira, the halacha is that by a deraisa, we say ein breira, and by derabanan, we do rely on breira. But when we speak about a tanai, there's no question. Everybody agrees that we could rely on tanayim. And therefore, again, the question is, what makes a tanai different than breira? So the Ramban and other Rishonim discuss this. When somebody makes a tanai, he is indeed adding a stipulation, but we know what his goal is. If somebody writes a get and he attaches a stipulation, not only if it's a stipulation that he has control of making it happen or not, but even if it's a stipulation that's not in his control. He says, I'm divorcing you if it's going to rain tomorrow. So certainly it's not in his control if it's going to rain tomorrow. But we know that what is the goal here? The goal is that this husband is divorcing the wife. On that, there's no question. So that's why it's considered a tanai. By breira, we're not even sure what he wants to accomplish, because we're not sure if he wants to divorce. We're not sure, is he trying to accomplish which wife he wants to divorce. When the initial intention is unclear, when the initial intention is clear, but there's a stipulation attached to it, that is called tanai. But when the initial intention is not even clear, that's not called tanai. When there's a lack of understanding in the initial intention, that the halacha calls breira, which is the subject that we're about to learn. And as we say, before even we begin the sugya, the halacha is by the rice, so we don't rely on breira. But the Gemara has taught us that Rabbi taught us the halacha that we don't rely on breira in two different contexts. One is in our sugya about Gittin, and one was regarding the brothers who divided the Yerusha of the father. Says the Gemara Tzricha. Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to teach us this halacha in both different contexts? Answers the Gemara Ditin Baha. If we only had our Mishnah, we would say Baha come Rabbi Yochanan dein Breira, and our Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold the Breira, but shouldn't be in the law Lashma, because Rabbi Yochanan requires Lashma. Aval Hasam But when we speak about the brothers who divided the father's estate, only something that was sold, where it was a real transaction, that's where we say that Yovel cancels all transaction. Avol Yerusha Matana Loi, and this should be considered a Yerusha or a Matana, and therefore Hilchas Yovel would not apply. V'yashminin Sada Meshum L'chumra. We're going to maybe apply the concept of Breira L'chumra. Inami Betchila, or Rabbi Yochanan was saying that before the division, that Rabbi Yochanan said only by Yovel, because everything goes back by Yovel. So he's saying that this is included in what go back in Yovel. Aval Hocha, in the case of a get, we would not necessarily say Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. That's why both cases were mentioned. Baimene Rabbi Yishim Rabbi Yehuda. Amal Alavlavar. If somebody told the Soifik, Soif Lila Ezer Shetetze B'Pesach Tchila, I want the get should be for whichever of my two wives exits the house first. Mahu. What will be the halacha? Because seemingly, this is a case of retroactive designation. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda answered to Nesua. We've learned this in our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, Yesemikan, the last case of our Mishnah, Amalei Lavavar, he said to the Sofer, Soiv le'ezesh eretz agarish, write that the get should be effective for whichever wife I want. The loch is posel garishba, it cannot be used as a get. Alma, isn't this clearly indication? Ein breira. Esvei, ask the Gemara, how could you be so confident that ein breira, the Mishnah, Masechta Pesachim, that pay tesom and aleph teaches us, haim l'bana v'areni shoychit karmen pesach amish yal mekem rishon yishlayim. A father says, I'm shechting the karmen pesach, that it should be valid for whichever of my sons arrives to Yerushalayim first. Kivin Shenichnas Rishon, the first one enters Yerushalayim, the first one to enter, Rosh Rubai, once he's mostly in Yerushalayim, Zocha Bechelkoi, he is the one that gets the shear in the Karan Pesach, Umezakev and Zakev Imai, and then the other siblings, Kirit, because of him. Amalei Hoshia Berei, so we see that we're relying on Bereira. We're relying on retroactive designation that the father said, which is the son, when the son that enters first into Yerushalayim enters into Yerushalayim, he becomes the one to have gotten the Karan Pesach. Amalei Hasheberi, so Rabbi Yehuda responded to Ma'ani Pesachim Eitzel Gitma, Hatma Allah Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that case of the Karan Pesach is really not connected to Hilchos Breira at all. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, all the father was trying to accomplish was kedei lezarzim mitzvahs. What he wanted to do was, he wanted to encourage them that they should get to Yerushalayim quickly. So he used this type of a wording. But it wasn't his goal to say that only this son will get a share in the Karan Pesach, and it will be retroactively designated. And therefore, it's not a good comparison. That isn't a question about Breira. Dekanami, and says the Gemara, that is obvious to be the correct pshat in understanding the case of the Karan Pesach. The Tani, the Mishnah taught us, Kivin Shenichnas Rishon Rusha Veruba, once the first son came into Yerushalayim, Zoka Bechelkoi, or Bechzaka Zacherev Echav Imai. Yam Bishlamadim Ninumi Kara, if we're going to say that he appointed all of them to bring the Karan Pesach, Shaper. So we understand what's being taught here. Because one of the fundamental halakhos of bringing a Karan Pesach is the Karan Pesach has to be brought le menuyov. Only those that are registered on the Karan Pesach can eat from the Karan Pesach. So if we'll say that the father had registered all of his children the Karan Pesach, that's why all of them may eat from it, but because he wanted to encourage them to come quickly to Yerushalayim, he made this statement. Shaper, that would be very understandable. But if we're going to say that what happened here was the loy amninu, that he didn't register them, and now he's saying that whoever comes first will get a shear, how could that be acceptable? Lacha shchita mikam samnu. The halacha is that after the Karan Pesach is already brought, you can't register. Vatanan, Nimna Mashimi Yodim Nanu Achi Yashkut. You could register and you could unregister until the Karban Pesach was actually brought. But once the Karban Pesach is actually brought, it's too late. So obviously, the way we have to explain that Mishnah is that they were all registered. And now the father, as we're learning, wanted to encourage them to come. And the way he got them encouraged was by making this statement. The Rishonim in Masechta Pesachim ask a question. If the halacha is, as we're learning now, that registration on the Karban Pesach is essential to being allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach, then the halacha is that it's cotton is not a person that can be registered. So how could one ever serve a Karban Pesach to a cotton? So Taisus in Masechta Pesachim answers that the chiyuv of chinuch overrides this issue. The Ran has a different teretz. The Ran says that where does the halacha require registration to the Karban Pesach? The Torah says that you have to, in order to be able to eat from the Karban Pesach, you have to register. And as we just learned in our Gemara, not only must you register, but you actually have to register. You actually have to register before the Karban Pesach was brought. But that is all, says the Ran, applicable only to people who are able to be registered. An individual who is a katan, who's not a bar money, is not a person that the halacha could speak about registration. Such an individual, suggests the Ran, there's no chiv of money. There's no chiv of registration. And therefore, says the Ran, there's no concern about the ketanim, because the ketanim don't need to be registered since they're ketanim. Says the Gemara, again, to prove that the entire point of this statement was just kedei lezarzom, there was a situation when the father made this type of a statement, and the girls arrived in Yerushalayim before the boys. We had a situation where the girls were more zoris than the boys. Amar Abaya, Kabay Minei. So Abaya goes back to this discussion that we have taking place between Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yehuda. Kabay Minei, Rabbi Oshia asked Rabbi Yehuda, Toilab Das Acherim, where he said that whichever wife comes out first should be divorced. And the question that he asked, would that be a valid way of instructing the cipher? The Kapashalei, and what did Rabbi Yehuda answer from? The case of our Mishnah, where is Toilab Das Atzmai, where he says, he tells the cipher, I want you to please write the get, and I will then decide who should be divorced. And then he answers with a situation of, again, of Toilab Das Achreirim, where he connected it to the son's coming. So the question is, how are you connecting, or how are you answering questions that are so different? One is Toilab Das Achreirim, and one is Toilab Das Atzmai. And I actually saw that there's some Rishonim that want to suggest that the Gemara means to say that the difference between Toilab Das Achreirim and Toilab Das Atzmai, that Toilab Das Achreirim is a case of Breira. A Toilab Das Achreirim is a case of a Tanai. And Toilab Das Atzmai is a case of Breira. And as we said a few moments ago, the halacha differentiates strongly between Breira and Tanai. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, Amai Kusha. The Malma Dilma don't make such a distinction. The Madis Le Breira, if you subscribe to the concept of Breira, then Loishna Toilab Das Atzmai, Loishna Toilab Das Achreirim, it's going to be Breira. Umanda Les Le Breira, and if you don't subscribe to Breira, then Loishna Toilab Das Atzmai, Loishna Toilab Das Achreirim, it doesn't make, in both cases, Les Le Breira. Amalei Mashash Le Rava, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, I'll show you that the halacha does actually make such a distinction. For Rabbi Yehuda, the Toilab Das Atzmai, Les Le Breira, I'll show you that when it's something that I will decide, he doesn't agree with Breira, and Toilab Das Achreirim, when it's not up to me, he does accept the concept of Breira. Before we go into the sugya, we just had this Gemara, the Gemara quoted the story by the Korban Pesach, where the father, as the Gemara said, was trying kedei lezarzam, was trying to encourage them to get to Yerushalayim first. And the Shas Chuvis, Mishnah Halachis, Chelek Vav, Simen Kof Samach Dalid, has a discussion of creating competition between Talmidim, is it appropriate or not? Because on one hand, we see that creating competition, of course, is a way to encourage them to learn. And on the other hand, he suggests, we know that the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, La'olam al yishana odam b'noi ben abonim, a father should be careful not to treat one child different than other children, because the Gemara says, because Yaakov Avinu treated Yosef different than all of his other children, the entire story of going down to Mitzrayim happened. So, is it appropriate to create competition or not? And he uses our Gemara as a proof that competition is good. Then that's exactly what the Gemara said happened by the Karim Pesach. So we just saw that Rabbi Yehuda differentiates Breira between Toil B'das Atzmai and Toil B'das Acherim. Where do we see it? Toil B'das Atzmai, less like Breira, when it's up to my decision, we don't hold the Breira, the Tanya. The Loch is, somebody bought wine from the Kutim, and as Rashi points out, that the Gemara is following the opinion that the Kutim are considered Yisraelim, and since they're considered Geri Emes, they're considered part of the Jewish nation, and therefore their produce is Chayiv in Trumas and Maisris. Moreover, Tosis points out, it was before that Chazal made the gzeira on the yain of the kutim. So somebody here bought wine from a kuti, and he wants to drink the wine. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, it's referring to a situation where it's already Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you can't take off Trumas and Maisris. Or another way of explaining it is, that of course the halacha is that we're not allowed to make Truma a Meiser Tamei. And the person who wants to separate the Truma Meiser out of this barrel of wine doesn't have any vessel that's tar where it can be put. But he wants to be able to drink the wine. What does he do? So he says, Shnei Lugim Shani Asa Lahafrish, two Lugim that I'm going to take off, that I will take as Truma, Harei and Truma. They will be considered Truma. Because Mida Raisa, the halach is truma has no shear. Chita achas peteres asakri. However, Chazal said that a generous person gives a 40th, an average person gives a 50th, and a stingy person gives a 60th. So here we're talking about your average individual, and that's why since we're speaking about your average individual, the Gemara says you'll take a 50th. A 50th of 100 is 2. And that will be the Truma. Vasara, and now you'll take the next 10 will be Maaser Rishon. And as all the Rishonim point out, it's not really 10, it's 9.8. Because if I started with 100 pounds, 100 gallons, and I took off 2 for Truma, I'm down to 98. 10% of 98 is 9.8. And now Tisha, it's a Maaser Sheni year. Then I have to take off another 10% for Maaser Sheni. And we have a machloikus, Rashi and Tosfos, what is the definition of meichel? Rashi says meichel means that we know that the halacha is the maaser sheni, which is taken in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, has to be taken to Yerushalayim and consumed in Yerushalayim. But the halacha is you don't necessarily have to take it to Yerushalayim. You could redeem it and take and use the money in Yerushalayim. So Rashi says, Umeichel, the part that was designated for Maaser Sheni, even though it's a situation where I can't physically remove that Maaser Sheni portion, I could redeem it. I say I have money in my wallet, and that money should get the Kedushas Maaser Sheni. Tosfos seems to learn differently. Taisa says on Shabbos you're not supposed to do that. And therefore, Taisa says the word meichel means that after you've gone through the procedure that was just explained, well, meichel v'shoshiyad, you could drink from that barrel. Divrei Rameyer. That's the opinion of Rameyer. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Oisrim. Because what is the machlokes? That do we say Breira? Rameyer, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon don't rely on Breira. And therefore, when we'll eventually take it off, that's relying on retroactive designation. And they don't agree to retroactive designation. Rameyer does rely. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that does not hold a Breira, even in a case of Betoyle Bedas Atzmai. He's the one that's going to take off the Truma eventually himself, and still he's not allowing us to rely on Breira. It says, where do we see where it's not in my control, he does agree to Breira? The Tanan. The Mishnah discusses later in Amasekht on Daf Ayin Gimel Arum and Aleph. A person who's very ill, and he gave a get to his wife, and he made the following stipulation. If I will die from this disease that I'm suffering from now, you will be divorced. And if he indeed at the end passes away from that disease, the halach is that she's divorced. Says the Gemara, what is the woman's status during the time from when he gave the get and made the stipulation until he actually dies? Because until he actually dies, we don't know if he will or he won't. She's considered a full-fledged Eishes Ish. And the halacha is that if he's a Kohen, she would be allowed to eat Truma, as like the din of an Eishes Ish. If she had an improper relationship, she would be considered an Eishes Ish that was Mizana and would be Chayiv Misa. So what do we see? Rabbi Yehuda is only discussing what's her status from when he made this declaration until he dies. But obviously, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the lechimayis, that when he actually dies, havgita, it's going to be a valid get. Why is it considered a valid get? Because we're going to rely on Breira. We're retroactively going to say that the get was a get from when it was given. So we see that in this case, he's subscribing to the concept of Breira. Because this is a case of Taylor B'das Acherim. Obviously, he doesn't control when he will die. That the only one that controls is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet we see that he is saying the concept of Breira. Isn't this clearly an indication that Taylor B'das Atzmai, he does not agree to Breira, but Taylor B'das Acherim, he does hold a Breira, says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Mishash L'Rava, Harav Shimon, the Taylor Bas Atzmai Les Breira. I'll say the same regarding Rav Shimon, that when it's in my control, he does not agree to Breira. However, but Taylor Bas Acherim is Le Breira. Taylor Bas Atzmai, when it's in my control, Les Le Breira, they doesn't have agree to Breira. Hadar Morin. That was the case of the wine. Where do we see that Betoyle Bas Acherim is Le Breira? The Tanya. If somebody is going to marry a woman, and he says to Hareni Ba'aleich, I'm going to marry you on Menashe Yirtza Abba, with the stipulation that my father will be agreeable to this marriage. Api Shalai Rotzo Av, the Tanya Kama holds that even if the father doesn't want him to be married to this woman, the Halacha is Mekudeshes. Because the Tanya Kama's opinion is that even though he made the stipulation, the fact that he went and then did beer with this woman is an indication that he's not interested in any conditions. He wants to be married to this woman. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rotza Av Mekudeshes. If the father is interested, then she's Mekudeshes. If the father agrees, Loi Rotza Av, Eni Mekudeshes. What do we see? That we're relying on Breira, that the father agreement is critical, and the father's agreement will retroactively make the Kedushin. Why? Because it's Toila B'das Acherim. Here, the Gemara spoke about a case about a child getting married Amnashir to Abba. It's interesting to point out that the Rama in Yoridei Simen Reish Mem Sif Chaf Hei says that if a father doesn't want his son to marry a certain woman, the son does not have to listen. The Shayas Tshuva Meishiv Dover Chelk Beis Simen Beis says that's only in a case where the son marrying this woman won't bring disgrace to the family. But if it'll bring disgrace to the family, then the halacha is that he has to listen to the father. And the Sefer Chassidim in Simen Tuf Kuf Samach Aleph and Kuf Kuf Samach Dalet says that if the father could prove that this woman has a real issue, then you do have to listen to the father. And Rav Vosner, actually, in the Shas Tshuvas Chelek, Shevet Alevi, Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, says that every time such a question comes to him, where there's a dispute between a father and a son, where the son wants to marry a certain woman and the father doesn't want him to marry that woman, he doesn't answer the question because it's a very, very difficult question to get involved with. However, this is only regarding a son, because a son has a chiv to get married, a son has a mitzvah puravu, and therefore maybe he's not obligated to listen to what the father says. But the Noida Behuda in Madura Tinyana of an Ezra Simen Mem Hei says what is going to be the halacha regarding to her daughter. A daughter doesn't have an independent mitzvah puravu, but she obviously has the mitzvah kibbut of Ein. What will be the halacha? So the Noida Behuda and the Avnei Tzedek are of the opinion, and this is the opinion of the Machna Chaim as well, that a girl also is supposed to get married, and she should marry whom she wants, even, of course, given the proper parameters, and doesn't have to listen to her parents who say no. The Shail Sechuvas Toyer Lishma, Simen Reis Samach Vav, actually disagrees, and he says we can't compare the situation of a son to the situation of a man to the situation of a woman. A man is obligated to get married, and therefore the father can't stop him from marrying the woman whom he wants to. A girl has a mitzvah kibbut of aim, but does not have the mitzvah puravu, and therefore a girl maybe has to listen to her parents more than marrying the man she wants to. Amalei Bein Rabbi Yehuda Ben Rabbi Shimon, Loishnot Talbadas Atzmai, Loishnot Talbadas Acherim, Isle Breira. They always hold the Breira. Says the Gemara for Hassam. So why is the halacha by the Lekech Yayin Ben Akutim that it's not acceptable? If you subscribe, ask the Gemara, to the concept of Breira, so why should this not be an acceptable approach? Answer, the Gemara, Hasam Kediktani Tamna. There is a different concern. Amr L'Rameya, Yatamaydim Shema Yibaka Anoid, Nimsa Shaisut Valam Afreya. The concern is a different concern altogether. The concern is we accept Breira, and therefore, by designating this much of the barrel will be truma and this much will be maaser, it's perfectly fine. But what happens if the barrel in which the wine is stored breaks and spills? Then we won't be able to rely on breira. And therefore, there we won't be able to rely on anything. There won't be anything to rely on. And since we need to be concerned about that, that's why they don't agree that this is a proper approach. How does Ramey respond? That's not what the Machlaikas has nothing to do with Breira. What, and they're just concerned for Shemi Yibaka Anoid. How does Rav Meir defend himself? Rav Meir says, L'chash Yibaka. When it'll happen, I'll worry. And the way Rashi explains that something happening like that is unlikely. It's Davish and Shchiach. And we know throughout Shas, Nusla Shchiach Le'gozer Rabbanan. However, in Masech the Yuma, Rashi explains that because of this concern, Ramey is not entirely discounting the concern. Rather, what Ramey is saying is that we're supposed to appoint a shomer, and the shomer will make sure to protect that this barrel of wine will stay in a place that it won't break. Here we learned the halacha of Breira. And the question that comes up, I saw the Paiskim discuss with the Shevet Alevi in Chelek Des Sim Dalid, and Rav Moshe and Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Vav, if somebody bought with Maisa money a lottery, a Chinese auction or a lottery, and then he wins, what is the status of the winning? Do we say that since he used Maisa money, so then the winning should go to Maisa or not? And the Paiskim discuss this question, and he says that, and there's another question, can you use this for Maisa money? And many Paiskim suggest that what we could do here is rely on Breira and say, I'm using this money for buying this lottery ticket for Tzedakah. And now, if I end up winning, so then the money that was used should be regular money. It should not be Maisa money. If I end up losing, it should be that I used Maisa money to purchase this lottery ticket. And that would rely on Breira. But since Maisa Ksofim, it certainly is not a Deraisa, as we learned in our shiur earlier, that you can rely on Breira when it's a Drabonon and be able to designate the money that way.